heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? And we talk about this being transformative news, but it really comes back to we the people, and it's the voice of the people, as I always say to you. You've been seeing a hashtag we've been using for some time now called hashtag my voice. And the key to this is to get people engaged with the conversation with that hashtag my voice. Today, we start a series, friends, that is hashtag my voice will be heard. So over the next hour, we'll have four very interesting voices and we'll do a roundtable discussion. So let's look at today being round one of an ongoing conversation with this program and this show and all of you out there as we welcome you in here, friends, to the Voice of a Nation here. We'll start the conversation with Ava Armstrong. Ava is a political commentator, radio personality, a best-selling author here at America Out Loud. Her books are on Amazon and the America Out Loud bookstore, friends. And so one of the conversations, Ava, you and I talked about the last couple of days, you said to me, you know, you've got something burning on your mind here, and it's about the resist. You hear a lot about the resist movement, and you kind of started to put that out there. Tell us what's on your mind today.
Well, I did something very different than probably most of my conservative brothers and sisters did. I watched the Democrat debates, and I sat through both of them, and I started to wonder, what is it that these folks are resisting? That was the thing that kept kind of bothering me. This question was always in my brain, and I came to a conclusion that they're resisting the peaceful transfer of power in our country that took place in 2016. And I don't think we've ever been to this spot before in our democracy and in our representative republic. And it's really, really frightening. Some of the things that are being talked about, you know, open borders, elimination of private health care, health insurance, guaranteed income. These things are blatantly socialism. And so the Democrats have decided now that they're fine with the word socialism. So they've come out of the closet, so to speak, okay? Yeah. So now we know what we're dealing with. But what we don't know as Republicans and as conservatives is that there's a war that's going on. And the war has been declared on us. It's been declared on Republicans. It's been declared on conservatives. It's been declared on American history. It's been declared on our founding. And it's also been declared on our rule of law, which is very important. And the press is now the propaganda arm of the Socialist Party. And the more I listen to the words of these folks, I think it's very important to listen to them speak. Because
if you can get through it, as you say here, that's if, you know.
I have to admit, it's very difficult to sit there and listen to somebody who's 100, you know, degrees opposite of you. But we have to understand, and not only understand, we have to infiltrate, okay? Right. We have to get people and wake them up and say, listen, there is no such thing as the New Green Deal. It's a fairy tale. It's a Trojan horse for stealing your money, okay? There is no such thing as man-made climate change. And we know this. We've done shows on America Out Loud with great scientists proving man is not doing this.
Well, Ava, let's bring in everybody else in the panel here. Let's bring in Arnetta. Let's bring in Ray. And let's bring in Ron. And we'll tell you more about everybody a little bit after here. But let's bring in the panel here now and talk about it. And so when you say what I see is the common denominator there, you're saying, is the peaceful transfer of power, you're saying. So you're saying that to you is what's, I guess, the culprit or what's most egregious about this resist movement, right, Ava?
Exactly. That's the most frightening part because, you know, like, for example, when Obama became president, there was an awful lot of people in this country who did not want him to be president.
That's right.
But we accepted the fact that he was, and we worked through the system.
Right, yeah. There's something to be said about that for sure. Ray, let's open it up here and talk about, so when Ava says the peaceful transfer of power, how does that resonate with you?
Well, what hit me, what Ava just said, was the word acceptance. Mm-hmm. And that is always the key to making any change. And they have not accepted one thing. And really, they haven't accepted Donald Trump. And that's a fact. If it wasn't a fact, we would not be seeing this level of resistance to everything that's been done in the last almost 3 years. And it's a problem because the word is, we understand it as a group, let's say the conservatives, but how many other Americans are sitting there kind of just on the sidelines? And I worry about that, because if we could motivate and we could reach many more people other than those that are engaged, I think we can beat this thing.
You've been watching the debates, Ray?
I've watched parts of the debates, Malcolm. I haven't been able to tolerate the whole thing. I mean, Ava, I hand it to you, really.
I know.
I've been getting encapsulated versions in the next day by different commentators.
Yeah. Let's get over to Ron Edwards here. And Ron, first of all, I got to ask you straight up. Have you been watching these debates, the Democratic debates?
I've been watching segments of it. I had to keep taking no dose to keep from falling asleep on the litany of lies and just the things they were saying, because these people are on a death knell march to destroy this country. And they're hard to tolerate.
Right. They're hard to tolerate.
Yes, I did watch some of it, but, you know, some of it was, that's it.
Right. Ron, what do you think about when, and I'm curious about the statement Ava says, that she's questioning with the resist movement, the peaceful transfer of power. Is that really is that part of the problem you've seen that?
Well, that's a huge part of the problem. These people have, they're working under the Cloward-Piven strategy to literally destroy this country. And they thought they had it in the bag under Obama, but he didn't finish the fundamental transformation of America, in which he proudly announced during the campaign, during his campaign. And so they thought that they had it in the bag with Mrs. Clinton, and that they were going to finish this transformation. Mm-hmm. And because they were so close in their own minds and it didn't happen, they went to Nutsville and have not come back since.
They are just on this
mad mission. That's why they're utilizing groups like Antifa and other, just blatantly horrible ways to try to disrupt the fabric of our society to bring about their goals.
Yeah, that is well said, buddy. Ron, that's well said. And I like the Nutsville characteristic there, for sure. But Ava and Ray was just saying, I mean, You know, can you tolerate? I mean, you know, it's one thing to watch and follow some debates from the opposing political party, whatever it is, whether you're a liberal conservative on either side of the aisle. But it's another thing when they're asking you to look at this, what you just said, Ron, completing the transformation of the country that Obama didn't finish, but certainly got down the road pretty well, is a good way to put that, actually. And when you consider that and you look at the fact of the socialist conversation, which Arnetta, we talk about all the time. Let me bring Arnetta into the conversation. And we discuss the socialism business. And I find no interest in watching these debates. In full disclosure, I've watched 0 minutes, like zero. The only thing I would have seen is the excerpts, the clips they play on the news, Arnetta, you know. But even those get old so fast because they keep playing the same garbage. You know, the news cycle, it's 24/7. They just keep talking about the same garbage. Yeah. What's your take? Have you been watching the debates, first of all? Have you been?
I have not watched them and actually have no need to watch them, because all I have to do is go to their website of moveon.org or Democracy Fund or Indivisible, and it's all right there. It's a script, and they're reading the script, and they're playing by the script. It's a role. It's not Nutsville. It seems crazy to us, but it's not, because they are doing exactly what they want to do, and that is to disrupt and resist. They are never going to accept President Trump, regardless of what benefits he gives and brings and helps develop this country back to its greatness. They will never, ever accept him. And if we are in the hopes of that, we better wake up, because we are in a nightmare, and it's a real nightmare. They have no interest in this country being great again, because they can't control it if it's great.
Well, Arnetta, they find that whole tagline offensive, quite frankly, make America That's great correct. Again. And the whole red hat thing has become
racist.
It's racist. A racist symbol in itself, Ava, correct?
Right. But, you know, I need to interject a note of positivity here. I am finding on Twitter, now I know Twitter is not indicative of the real world, okay? But I'm finding literally thousands of people who are walking away from the Democrat Party. And there's one gentleman in particular who I have on there, and he's very vocal about how he feels the love of the Republicans and the conservatives and how he's been welcomed. And, you know, he goes on and on about it. And it's really kind of heartwarming. And I always say a little something back to him. But I think there's something happening. It's bubbling beneath the surface. And I know that soccer moms that didn't vote for Trump last time because he said, grab them by the, you know what? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was like eons ago now. And Trump now has a record to run on. So I think actually there's probably more people that are looking at him seriously and looking at voting for him.
Okay. You talk about bubbling just below the radar there. You say bit of an, you feel like that's an opportunity or so. Ray, do you agree with that? Do you feel like what Ava's saying is there's a lot of people in the middle of the middle aisle, I think you're saying, Ava, right? The moderates
yes.
and what have you.
Yes, yeah. Independents, yes.
Independents, just left of center, that kind of thing, blue dog, whatever. Do you get that same sense, Ray, or no?
I do. I do get that same sense.
Cool.
And I think there is something going on. It's hard to put completely our finger on it, but we know that we won in 2016 pretty readily throughout the country. But we're not sure who, you know, was responsible for it. We know that a lot of people who would never utter the name of Trump voted for Trump.
It's a good point.
Right?
That's a great point, buddy.
I think this is really where we have to go. For those people, and this is part of what I'll get into a little later myself, but it's how do we reach this, you know, Reagan called it the silent majority. I never completely understood it, but I think I have a better idea.
No, you just hit it right there. That's exactly it. And, you know, back to the silent majority, and you just said the 2016 election. That's why I always laugh like right now, Ray, when they talk about the polls. Like they say, well, Joe Biden, he's beaten Trump by 10 or 11 points. I mean, my friends, if he's beaten Trump by 10 or 11 points, I own 5 castles in Ireland. I mean, it doesn't, it's not the truth. I mean, come on. But the polls, it's all lies. I mean, really.
Well, Mel,
I
have a question because I did a little research on this. But in 2016, has anyone done a study of the primaries that President Trump won? Were they open primaries or were they closed primaries? Because I remember him constantly saying how many Democrats voted for him when I know that there was a campaign to recruit Democrats to vote for him because they felt Hillary Clinton could beat him.
Yeah.
So I think part of their anger is they helped elect him. And that's one of my concerns. I'm a very optimistic person, but this concerns me. And if they do what they did in 2016, they're going to try to do everything possible, pull out all stops to steal the election. They're already working on it because they set Trump up to win, thinking that Hillary could beat him. They hadn't counted on the rest of the country supporting him.
That's right. They did not count on that. Because basically what's happened is the polls were never right. And we talk, as Raymond mentioned, the solid majority. But it's even more than that. a lot of people, a lot of those independents, but more than that, a lot of Democrats, back to Ava's point, a lot of Democrats would never had admitted that they were voting for Trump. I mean, that's just sacrilegious, people. You're not going to say that to your Democrat friends or your family. You got to remember, a lot of politics, it's hereditary in nature. It's built into the family. So it's kind of built into the pie already, people. And so it goes back. So you can't really tell your family what you do. And of course, that's the beautiful thing about voting. When you're going to vote, it's you and your conscience and God Almighty, correct? I mean, yeah, sure. So that's what's happening here. So here's what I really put out to you all now. You know, as we now come into another election, I got news for you. And, you know, Ava talks about the debates and we kid about this. But, you know, I'm okay with hearing the party of John F. Kennedy's views. I'm okay with hearing the Democratic platform and having a real substantive conversation. I'm good with that, people. What I'm not good with, I'm not good at turning this into a communist country. That I'm not good with. And so those people, I have no capacity to listen to them because they don't have a shot at getting in as far as I'm concerned. And I think what's going to happen is that middle of the road, those Democrats, you know what? I think a lot of them, back to Ava's point, and she says it feels, you know, like it's an opportunity, optimistic a little bit. A lot of those people are going to vote for Trump quietly, privately. They're not going to tell their families because they certainly want to have dinner that night, you know. But I think that's what's going to happen now. Because why do I say that so confidently? Because people, come on. Do you think middle America is going to turn this country socialist, is going to turn it that way? I don't think so. I don't see it. So that's I think, where we are right there, people. So, well, let me tell you what we'll do here. Hashtag My Voice Will Be Heard is the name of this roundtable today, friends. And so today's show is just round one of an ongoing conversation that I plan to have with you over a period of years, bringing in great voices like Ava Armstrong, Ron Edwards, Arnetta Notkin, Ray Brookstein. And what we'll do is we'll take on different topics now as we continue on with the show. Up next, Ron Edwards will be on, and we'll talk about one of the hottest conversations going on in the country right now, racism. So that's going to be up just a moment too. Let me first take a moment and tell you, today's show, friends, is sponsored by Healthy Cell. Now, you've heard me talk about Healthy Cell. You've heard it on the platform over the past couple of years. And so this particular special series, this hashtag My Voice Will Be Heard, is sponsored by Healthy Cell. Now, I myself take Healthy Cell, and I want to encourage you to as well, simply because I started a couple of years ago. I needed something rather than the crazy multivitamins you pick up that really don't do the job. They've got a new liquid form of this. It's a liquid gel, which the thing about a liquid versus a pill, first of all, it gets into your body stream quickly. So you get the benefits of whatever it is that you're taking that much faster, clearly. So they've got, if you go to americaoutloud.com, there's a logo right on the front page, Healthy Cell. If you click there or click to the ad, you'll get in and you'll get a special. There's a sample there. You can get a free 2-day sample there. You just pay $2.95 shipping and handling, and they'll send you the sample free, no questions asked. Or you can also get 20% off your first order if you use the OutLoud code. You'll get that as well. Only our listeners get that special deal there. So anyways, check it out, friends. Healthy Cell, healthycell.com/OutLoud is how you get there. We'll take a pause in more Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good taste in gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of americaoutloud.com. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. You'll see there's an article, a column up on the platform. Democrats have the facts so twisted in the minds of millions of Black Americans. And of course, this is really one of the, you talk about a water cooler topic, people. This is exactly it. And this is where we've got into this whole conversation of racist. I mean, that's the typical racist conversation that the left uses when they don't have facts or data or anything else. I want to bring on next here, Ron Edwards. Ron is a new voice here, but he is certainly an experienced talk show host around the nation. He's a new voice and a columnist here at America Out Loud. And that column I just mentioned, that article, by the way, the Democrats have the facts so twisted in the minds of millions of Black Americans, is from him. And that is, he is the author of that message on the platform, people. So check that out. Check Ron Edwards out, please. And Ron, I'm going to give you the floor here and tell us what's burning up in your soul, buddy.
Well, when it comes to the issue of racism in America, what's burning in my soul about that particular topic is the fact that the Democrats in particular have been allowed to use that particular subject to, as some folks like to say, run the game on the population of Black Americans for numerous decades, especially beginning after what my dad called the bastardized rights movement, commonly known as the civil rights movement. You know, dad first told me about that. I was about 8 years old or whatever, and he explained all that to me. And he told me, he said, in the future, the Democrats are going to use this as a wedge between Black Americans and the rest of America, while at the same time, the quality of life for Black Americans shall deteriorate overall. And lo and behold, that is exactly what has happened. For example, in the 1950s, during the time of Jim Crow, 42% of Black Americans owned businesses, small and large. Today, in this so-called enlightened age, only 3% of Black Americans own businesses. Now, you would think, because of this civil rights movement and all the things that the Democrats say that they're doing for Black folks, mm-hmm. to the tune of $23 trillion that they've wasted, and the war on poverty, the Great Society, my friends, those things were designed to literally destroy the Black community. The reason why they focused on the Black American community, because the Democrats have for a long time been run by people who disagreed with our constitutionally limited way of life. Of course, most people did not know that. They were unaware of that. And of course, the Democrats could not blatantly expose themselves as they are doing today. So they focused on one particular segment of the population, the Blacks, ones who had been the most enslaved and so discriminated against and all of that. Well, rather than taking encouraged to take to the Booker T. Washington approach to build yourself where you are at and to seek to be allowed to make mistakes, to grow on your own without government assistance, but for government to provide the atmosphere through lower taxes and all that, so that we can grow our own businesses and not need handouts. But of course, they conned Black people through the education system, or bastardized education, into thinking that we're victims, no one likes, and we're all hated. Mm-hmm. And so what has happened, and I didn't learn this until I moved to Michigan, I learned that there is now a segment of the Black population that has been so victimized through the government school system that they hate the country so much and they're so embittered that they would rather see the country destroyed and everyone brought down to their level of living or existing. They're not even living. Rather than have an opportunity-based economy where everyone has, as my dad used to say, the opportunity to climb the ladder of life.
You're so passionate and so well-spoken about this topic. I want to tell you something with what you say there. As we, let's also bring the panel back in here. Arnetta is joining us here, Ava and Ray, and everybody is on here with us here now. And so listen, one thing I want to say, Ron, is two friends of mine, and you may know them, Reverend C.L. Bryant and Herman Cain, are two great black conservative voices.
Their message, Mr. Cain.
Yeah, their message out there, they have both been on both television and radio with me both. I've had them on my television show and the radio. And I'll tell you what, they speak about the plantation today. The Democrat Party is the new plantation. You know that. You know that. They speak about that very clearly. I want to ask you something, though, before we go around the roundtable here. Ron, your family now, you're a great black American conservative voice, strong voice. You got a strong message, passionate, speak from the heart, the soul. I just love your message. What about your family, your dad you mentioned, and your other family? Where were they in the whole political aisle, please?
Well, it was my father. I was actually adopted into the family that I'm in. My dad wanted a son. They were older. They were in their 50s when they adopted me. Okay. And he was what you would call today a conservative. I did not know that I was conservative until someone called me that. Wow. I was just starting to vote during the second administration of Ronald Reagan. And okay. Someone called me a conservative, and I didn't know what it was. I just, you know, because of my views. And so I didn't understand why. For many years, I could not understand why there were so many people, both black and white, mm-hmm. would hate this country. When I look at the plantation mentality of black Americans today, I could cry a river. I could cry an ocean because I see so many lives wasted. But Malcolm, here's one thing.
Yes, sir.
I learned the hard way that what the Democrats have done with the black American community is actually what they want to do to the United States as a whole. Wow. When they started working on the black American community, they realized at the time mm-hmm. they could not swallow the entire nation up into their realm of socialism and all of that mm-hmm. crap that they want to bring forth. Mm-hmm. So they worked on the black American community. They stupefied them through the government school system yeah. and indoctrinated them, the ones that were able to get to college, and so on and so on.
I have a lot of hope, though, for what's coming. I really do. I think 2020 is going to be a real landslide for Donald Trump. And I'll tell you why. I'm seeing people come out like Charlie Kirk and Candace Owen with Turning Point mm-hmm. USA for young people. Mm-hmm. I'm also seeing people like Brandon Straka, who's a gay Republican,
the walk conservative, away movement.
Yeah. Walkaway movement. You know, you're looking at this stuff and it's happening right before our eyes. And these kinds of things give me great hope. They really do.
Yeah. Well, and then the recent tragedy, which Ron talks about in the column there, I want to talk about a moment here with Representative Elijah Cummins and Baltimore itself and what has happened here, is a perfect classic case. They found, in the last many days, they have found a video with Representative Cummins on the video talking about Baltimore being a drug-infested environment and so on and so forth. But, of course, they tried to pin that on the president just being a racist remark. And, of course, I got news for the president. I got news for Cummins. I got news for all of them. Drugs don't know color. Drugs, whites, blacks, Asians, Hispanic, drugs don't know color. Drug problem is a drug problem, and it goes to any type of background, really. It has, I mean, so it's just the way they do it, and they pin it on as a racist talk here. But again, with Cummins now, it's pretty out there in the daylight. You know, I don't hear them walking that back right now. Ray, let's chime in about, I'd like to get your points on Representative. In other words, I don't hear anybody saying, oh my God, Cummins is a racist. And of course, Representative Elijah Cummins is a racist.
Democrats over a 40 or 50 year period in Baltimore have basically been mainstreaming like a drug addict, a message into that community. I mean, what else are they supposed to think? You know, how do you get out from being an addict? They've been addicted to a message that has been intravenously fed.
It's all they know.
To these people.
That's all they
all
know,
they
Raymond.
Know. I can't blame them, but we have to take the needle out of the arm. I don't know how we can do it, Ron.
Well, Ron is one of those voices that's attempting to do that. And you know, we are seeing what Ava was saying a moment ago. We are, listen to me, we are seeing the rise of Black America conservative and moderates that are seeing, I mean, they see the score. Smart people get it. They know what's going on, and they know the left. They know the tendency of what's happening here. And Ron, do you think slowly but surely progress is being made with Black America?
There is slowly but surely amongst a certain percentage of the population. But what we must do, my friends, we've got to get a hold of the number one enemy of this nation in order to turn this thing around completely. And I love to ask everyone, when I get into these type of discussions, what, in your opinion, is the number one enemy of this nation? And I'll explain why I asked you that question.
Oh, well, let's go right around. Let's go right around quickly. Arnetta, what do you think?
The number one enemy is the propaganda that everyone is listening to, that they do not take the opportunity and do their own research and spread out and listen to other voices other than the scripts that they're being given. They're being brainwashed. They have been brainwashed through the education system.
Okay. Ava, what do you think number one enemy is?
I think the number one enemy is the educational system. Okay. I think if you brainwash kids that are very young right now, they're being told that our founding fathers are evil and horrible and blah, 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 you know, and our founding documents are therefore racist. And, you know, that's how you take a country apart. You make people hate it.
Right. So you got education. Arnetta was on the media. Ray, where are you?
I'm torn between education and the mainstream media message. The economic dependence of the welfare state, I think that has a lot to do with it.
And I will just centralize it and say that our number one enemy is the education system. And so therefore, we have to get a hold of the reins of education in this country. It should not be federalized. We should get rid of the Department of Education. That is a waste of money and a waste of good minds in America.
Well, it is a tale of two ideologies, really, is what it is. Everything comes back to that. It always does, people. It's two ideologies. Listen, let's get your thoughts out there. Hashtag my voice. You can use that in any social media wherever you're at, and hashtag my voice. And, you know, you're hearing some very good dialogue here, some interesting thoughts and what have you. And as we talked about, first was the resist, what's going on with the resist, and then racism as a whole. Next up, friends, I want to talk about forging a new path and how do we do that. And Ray will take the reins of that talk, and we'll do that in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Patriots. Through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
All right, as we continue back here, let's get on with Ray Brookstein. And Ray is an American poet, author of The Trump Chronicle. Now, he's got the books 1, 2, and 3 is coming. And, of course, he's a show host here at America Out Loud. Ray, you talked about forging a new path. Tell us about what's burning up in your soul today.
Well, thank you, Malcolm, and all the guests. First of all, I just want to say that I have never considered myself to be a political expert. I consider it more like Jeff Goldblum in his role in Jurassic Park. And as you recall from the movie, he wasn't there as a scientist or even as an expert, but he was there to observe the risks of their perfect formula to recreate a perfect world. And as we know, it went sideways. And he said that life finds a way, and that life will find a way to a new path. So maybe, you know, as a writer, a poet, I'm trying to record what I see, not so much from a technical political standpoint, but just from a person who's looking at observing a situation, and maybe it's reflecting the lives of many people in this country that aren't able to express it, don't want to get into a heated debate, have had their family dinners ruined in the last few years, friendships.
You're talking about because of fighting within the family and the friends and stuff?
Oh, my God. Any of us could speak to what's happened within our own families.
Yeah.
Fathers, sons, brothers, sisters, aunts, you name it.
Okay.
So, you know, I just want to say that what I'd like to talk about and get everybody's feedback is, how do we forge a new path here that we can reach people that may not be as engaged as we are?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To alert them to, you know, what's happening and what is at risk in their lives.
Yeah. So when you talk about forging a new path, you're speaking about, individually or the country as a whole, or are we talking about forging a new path and trying to get more people to look at the conservative movement? Which of those do you think?
I am. I'm looking at that they have to start to look at conservatism in a positive way. I mean, everything has been, we don't know where people are getting what they get. I mean, not everybody's listening to the news. Not everybody's on the radio.
Right.
Not everybody is reading newspapers or watching TV. You know, how do we get, you know, a message out to that, you know, it's been all about just crushing Trump for almost 3 years now.
All right, well, let's go around the table here. Let's bring in Arnetta. And Arnetta, let's talk about what Ray puts out there, forging a new path forward. What do you think? How do we do it?
Well, we do it by doing exactly what you and America Out Loud are doing. It was why we created Voice of the Nation, to try to reach out more and more to spread our exposure and reach those voices that are moderates, even middle to left, middle to right, to hear different opinions, have a conversation, one that is a conversation and not an argument and not a fight. So we need to unite the other conservative voices out there that's on digital media, other podcasts, other things like Periscope. We need a united front with a strong, positive message, but one saying, don't assume. Because remember what that saying about assume is. Don't assume anything. Fight as if you're in a foxhole and you're out of ammunition, because we are up against the progressives' flamethrowers and we're using matches. That's one thing that they've done is unite. We need to get more and more conservative voices so that we can extend our reach. And
I would differ a little bit with what you say. I don't think we're up against progressives. I don't think that's the problem. We're up against a socialist, communist agenda is the bigger problem, Arnetta.
That is their agenda.
Well, I don't call them progressives, I'm saying. Right. That's too kind. Well, that's way too kind.
Well, yes, I mean, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth.
They have fleas all over it, yes.
Well, yeah, because they've hijacked the whole conversation. These people are off the deep end. I mean, they fell off the cliff and banged their head, and they all got some sort of an amnesia disease. Ava, forging a new path. You know, when we started America Out Loud, it was let the silent voices be heard was the mantra, still is today. It was mantra number one. And it really was about turning on the voices. And because we knew full well back then, Abel, we couldn't rely on traditional media. I mean, let's face it, Abel, we knew NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, MSN. We knew the New York Times, Washington, all the newspapers. We knew they all had a stench to them. We knew they smelt like you know what, right?
Mm-hmm. I think what we need to do also is be realistic. How many people vote really in this country? Is it like 70% or something? It's 68 or 70%. That's not a lot of people. I'm talking about registered voters.
How many people actually vote? Does anybody know that number? I think it's just over 50, actually. I don't think it's anywhere near 70. Anybody know?
I don't know. We know from the numbers that it was like 65 million people voted on each side in the presidential election. And then that's 130 out of 300 million, but I don't know how many are children. So it may be 70% of the registered voters or the vote eligible voters.
Let me read this to you. I just did the search on it, and I used DuckDuckGo, by the way. So I don't use Google because they lie like hell. And so voter turnout of the United States fluctuates in national elections. In recent elections, almost 60% of the voting eligible population voted. There's your answer, Ava.
Okay, so what we need to do is, number one, we need to accept the fact that there are some socialists who will never turn into a conservative, okay? So don't waste your time on those people. What we need to focus on are the independents, and we need to focus on those voters who are not voting, okay? A lot of them are not voting because they've given up hope, and we need to instill hope in our message. So the way the Democrats do some of these things, they're very good at whipping up hatred and violence, okay, with their Justice Democrats and the New Young Turks and all this garbage, okay? We need to do the same type of thing, but have it be a force for good.
Which is what we do. That's the whole mantra at America Out Loud. And by the way, I refer to that group you just said as the New Young Turds. your turds is a better name for that. Ron, take a minute here and tell us about forging a new path. How do we do that, brother?
Well, included with all of the above, great ideas, folks. Love it. We must take a two-pronged approach. We've got to get to the young people. And we have to remember to get back to the foundation of this country. The reason why I say that is because if you're going to learn how to drive, you've got to learn the principles of the road, and you've got to learn how your car works. You've got to learn how the rules of the road, all those things, and how to be able to transport yourself safely and without problems. Well, the same thing can be applied to running a nation. We have to know what made America great, what's going to keep her great, what's going to provide opportunities for her people, for her future generations. And I think we've got to get back to teaching the principles and getting those principles across to our young people who are going to be our future voters in this country, while we at the same time are, as you all so admirably said, reaching out to all those we can reach. And like someone said that, there's going to be some we will never reach. They're just socialist pigs and they're stuck in that mire. But for the most part, we can reach people, and we've got to get the principles. People have to know, well, what is a constitutionally limited republic? What is that about?
That's right.
And when you learn about this country, you fall in love with this country.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That is a great statement, buddy, here. All right. So listen, today, friends, it's #MyVoice. #MyVoice will be heard. And it's a new concept we're doing here. Today is round one, and we're just thrilled to have on here Ava Armstrong, Ron Edwards, Ray Brookstein, and Arnetta Notkin. And Arnetta, I want to turn right into you now, and let's talk about globalist. Our last topic here and for the day here. And so we've talked about resist. We've talked about this racism business. We've talked about forging a new path. And so what's on your heart and your mind today when you use the word globalist?
What burns a hole in my soul is my concern about how many of we the people truly understand or would be willing to accept or hear what the progressive globalist real agenda is about, and how far are they willing to go to satiate their ferocious hunger for power, which means they want to rule the world. And is that war, basically? How far and how extreme will they go? They're already the shadow diplomacy behind the, you know, keeping Trump from China and the Iran situation, stirring that up, the open borders. They're recruiting all the way to Africa to bring in an overrun of our country. So just ask yourself, this is what I ask myself, how far am I willing to admit that they will go to get what they want? And if it's war, you say, oh, well, they wouldn't go that far because they destroy the country.
Yeah, and they're already destroying the country, Arnaz.
That's
so
exactly right.
Let's go around the table. Let's go to Ava Armstrong. And Ava, speak to that point that Arnetta puts out there.
I'm not afraid of them destroying the country just yet, anyways. For one thing, conservatives have a hell of a lot more guns and a lot more ammo. So, speaking, you know, for myself, I mean, you know, I would fight for my country. I would fight for the principles of this country. And if it comes down to that, I'm ready. I mean, you know, that's just the way I roll.
Wow. That is so.
My question is, how many Avas are out there and how many would be willing to sacrifice, to give absolutely everything?
Well, I guess if
to maintain a constitutional republic for future generations,
if they really thought the republic, the union was going down, if people, you know, that brings up a side thought, Arnetta, is many people take the United States of America for granted. They believe it's always going to be here. You know, I talk about the fight of good versus evil, and we talk about all this, but here we go. This whole fight that's playing from coast to coast right now, people take, they assume that the United States will always be good. It will always be here. It will always be protected. But what you're saying is, how far will they go? Let's bring Ron in a minute. Ron, let's talk about that. But I'll tell you how far they'll go. Ron, I think when Arnetta questions, well, will they go all the way to war? My answer to that is 100% absolutely. I don't think they give a rat's ass, Ron. I think they're happy to have a war. What do you think?
Absolutely. They will go as far as the barbarians who sacked Rome.
That's your ass. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we, the American people who love this country, have to be willing to face the fact that we have to be willing to go as far as they will take it.
That's right.
Like my father used to tell me, if you don't start nothing, won't be nothing. But the fact of the matter is, we have to be willing to finish something if they start it. And I like the comment that the lady just said that we have more ammo on our side, and we do. And see, one thing that concerned me though recently, I was in Florida, and I noticed everywhere I went, Democrats had these little booths out, signing up young people. And I looked around, I said, boy, this is a pretty red state, but I don't see any Republicans out here doing the same. Republicans have the superior message and the superior ideas, but we do not have the superior messaging. And that is another problem. We've got to do a better job on our side, guys, of messaging and reaching out to the young. That has to be part of our fight.
Ron, that is a phenomenal point. I got to tell you, you make me think a moment here. Raymond, let's bring you into this conversation, but let me say something on what Ron just says, please, and bridge it over to you. And here it is that, you know, as he's saying that, I'm thinking, Ray, this, I'm thinking that, you know, he's right when he says that these people he's speaking about here, they're very good at messaging. And I speak about this all the time on the airwaves. The conservative movement sucks at messaging. In fact, the left has bought everything over. I've said this verbatim to everybody. I say it every day to y'all. But here's the thing. But I think the more you think about that, they almost have to do that. When you're driving an evil message, when you're part of when you're Satan's disciples, when you're part of hell, when you want to burn the established, when you want to burn it down, when you have the tendencies of when you want to create a communist environment, and when you hate the country that much, and let's call it what it is, clearly they do. They don't love what they see as this America. They're looking for a different America. Well, when you do all that, you have to have more, and you have to be out there doing the things they're doing. And what Ron says, Ray, is that the right is taking it for granted, and they're assuming that good will always win out. But you see, the evil are prepared, and Ava says, well, we got more guns. Right? Well, you know what? But these people are smart. They seem to outsmart the right at every turn. And I'm going to put that out there to you right now. I think the left is smarter than the right. What do you say to that, Raymond?
I agree. I do. And I think Ron's point is well taken.
Okay.
But I have an idea.
All right.
I have something to say because of the fact that the mainstream media controls TV. They control the print media. They control pretty much how people get information. What I would like to see from the Republicans and from the conservatives in a groundswell to take the billboards of America on all the roadways everywhere and start to project a message that needs to be projected. We have to fight fire with fire. And think about it. People may not read a newspaper, listen to the radio, turn on the TV, but when they're driving to work, they could see a solid message somehow. Now, I'm not Madison Avenue.
Well, but I am. I spent 25 years in advertising and marketing, buddy, and I've done a lot of outdoor campaigns, some a little risky, you know, again, out loud style, Raymond. But I think that's a fabulous idea. The only thing we need is money. Who's got deep pockets? Let's put it all on the table here, kids. Who's got deep pockets? Anybody out there? Hashtag my voice. Who's got deep pockets? That's what we need. Well, you know, again, the Warren Buffetts and the Billy Gates and all the rest of these cronies, they're all on the left.
That's right. Let's get some conservative billionaires to help this cause.
Jimmy, I'll run the campaign. I'll come up with the messaging. I'll pro bono. Do it pro bono. I've done it all my life. I'm happy to do it and put together a campaign that will make them kiss their asses from Three Winds to Wheaties. Yeah, all right. What do you say to that, Ava?
Madison.
I need somebody that will buy Twitter for me, and I'd love it to be Donald Trump.
All right. Hashtag my voice if you got enough money to buy Twitter.
I love Ray's idea, and I have to tell you, all it takes is a couple of communities to start it. It has to. We can't rely on the GOP. It's got to be the communities that it starts in, and it maybe starts even in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So let's start getting that out there.
Arnetta, it's a great idea, Arnetta. It truly is. Yeah. And having run outdoor campaigns, I mean, this can be done. I mean, these companies will sell, and we could get that advertising to put the, and what Ray, what you're saying is take it over in that way, right? I mean, put the message out there.
Take it over the roadways of America. We already had the conservative, let's call it the country vote. The whole country map looks red. We county by county in 2016,
right.
We have to keep it red, but get the people that 40%, right? Mm-hmm. We only got 60% of the voters. To get another even 10% going towards the right could possibly keep the agenda of Trump in place, but even beyond Trump, which is really what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because there will be a day when Donald Trump is not there. They'll have nobody to scream at except the next conservative president. So it has to start now.
They're planning, Ray, they're planning for there not to be one.
That's right.
Yep.
That's
right.
And their arrogance alone with all this radical proposals and verbiage and rhetoric, their arrogance alone we should be wary of.
Let them try to take a truck. Let them try to take a truck away from a hillbilly.
That's
let them try.
Yeah, you know, the arrogance, though, and Arnetta, I'm going to disagree slightly with you here because I think arrogance is something that's a big turnoff.
I agree.
And I think a lot of these policies that these socialists are proposing, people, average American people, are looking at this and they're going, what? What world am I living in here? You know, I mean, they're shocked.
I agree, but you're talking about doing things legally. You know, I'm not talking about doing things legally because they're not going to do it legally.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
We have to be unorthodox. This country
That's
was
right.
founded through unorthodox fighting.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to be more creative in combating this stuff, because they are very arrogant. But remember, pride goeth before a fall as well.
But that's the point. They're not stupid, and they would. They, meaning the Democrats, the progressives, the globalists, if they thought that there was any harm to their agenda by allowing this arrogance, they would stop it.
Right. I don't think they can help themselves, because they're extremely dismissive of any conservative. Mm-hmm. They're very rude. They're not trying to help get us into their party. They're being very hateful.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Their confidence. And it's scripted. Every word is scripted.
Well, it's a huge turnoff.
Well, I got to tell you, we're going to start calling you Arnetta Mafia Mama after that slang there, Mafia Mama or something. I don't know. But wow. And then, of course, Ron, I love what he says there, people, about we have to do this in an unorthodox way. He's right. Well, listen, you're listening to the voices today of Ava Armstrong, Ron Edwards, Ray Brookstein, Arnetta Notkin. I mean, four patriots, four amazing voices, and what a joy it is to listen to these voices. Hashtag my voice, people, as you hear some of the conversation here. Hashtag my voice will be heard. To capsule, friends, today, as we talked about, again, this resist movement that Ava puts out there so well, and what's going on with this plantation business that Ron says he's had enough. And, of course, strong black conservative voices need to rise like Ron. I mean, hardly there's anybody better spoken than a Ron Edwards here as you listen to him. I mean, you got to love what you hear. The man speaks from his heart and his soul so well. And, of course, Ray Brookstein, talk about great ideas and thoughts. And just Ray is amazing. Forging a new path, he says. It's time to forge a new path. And he's saying, let's buy all the darn billboards. And let's. You want to do a little brainwashing here? I'll play a little. It's like a poker game. I'll give you a little brainwashing here. And Arnetta Notkin says, let's be clear what the agenda is here. And that they'll stoop to any level. I think there's a sense of what you should get out of this here today of the importance of what's happening, why this is so important, and why the fight is such a vital fight. You know, conservatives can't lie down any further. That's not going to be the answer ahead. That's not going to get us anywhere, people. It's time to stand up. It's time to be noticed. It's time. It's time, people, to get involved and get loud.